Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
It's pretty funny that I'm preaching on Mother's Day because two things I never wanted was a microphone in my hand, like my husband said, or kids. So, preaching on Mother's Day, which is hilarious because I have two kids now. I'm actually a mom. And how many of you know that God's plans are way better than our plans? I just think about what I thought I wanted for my life back in the day, and it's just funny to think about. I wanted to be a news broadcaster. I wanted to graduate college. My degree was in communications, and I wanted to graduate and move to LA and become a news broadcaster. How much more fun is this? This is way more fun. This is way more incredible. Doing life with the most incredible people in the world, building the most incredible church in the world alongside the most fun and full of life people that you could find in any place, guaranteed, in the world, not just in San Diego, in the world. So how many of you moms got spoiled today? You better have. It's not too late. Find someone to spoil you if you didn't get spoiled. I had an incredible Mother's Day thus far. I actually booked a massage and facial for tomorrow by myself because I knew that the weekend would kind of be a wash since I'm preaching and Sunday's full of serving God's house, which I'm proud to say that I get to do, but tomorrow's all about me. So I'll be at the spa. Thanks, babe. I told Matt, don't give me anything for Mother's Day. I'm going to the spa on Monday by myself, and no one's going to keep a track of how much money I spent. But with the caveat of I'm the most conscious spender in our family. So I'm allowed to do those things. So I have two kids, as I mentioned, Micah and Maverick. They're the most precious things on planet Earth, little powerhouses. And Micah's 5, little girl, and Maverick's 3. And the funniest thing is, so when I was pregnant with Micah, my daughter, we had, so funny to think about, we did not want to do like an ultrasound and do all the things you have to do to find out what gender you're having. So we visited an acupuncturist who gave us the gender of our baby boy. And so he told us we were going to have a boy. So my friends threw me a baby shower, a mustache baby shower for our little boy named Micah. And give birth, and in the beauty of our own home, got to have a home birth, which I'm so thankful for. And Micah comes out, and my husband says, nothing. And I'm like, what's wrong? What's happening? Babe, it's a girl. And I'm like, you're lying. I literally thought he was joking with me. And how many of you know you don't joke with a woman who just gave birth? And so out came our precious baby girl named Micah. That was pretty funny. Pretty funny story we like to tell. So I thought I was a pretty good mom. And I think I'm a pretty good mom. You know, there's some things I could work on, as we all. But this past week, a couple weeks ago, our son's teacher tells our nanny, who picks the kids up a couple days a week, tells our nanny that Maverick said the F word at school. Now, I do have a habit of saying freaking, and I'm working on it. I'm going to change it to flipping because I've learned that my children pick up the words that we say because they also say freaking. And I'm like, no, Karen, he probably just said freaking. And she's like, okay, that's fine. You're probably right. So the next day at school, my husband goes to the teacher, and she goes, no. He said the F word, F-ing, except the full F word. 3 years old. I'm like, what have I done wrong? This is the mom's worst nightmare. My three-year-old is saying the F word. And I guess it was in the context of he's trying to get the sand out of his shoes. And I guess he's like, I'm going to say freaking, but you can imagine. I can't freaking get the sand out of my shoes, mom. Or teacher, I can't freaking get the sand out. Oh, and I'm like, oh my gosh. So I mean, having that conversation later is kind of pointless because, like, that night I'm like, what do I say? You're not allowed to say this word and then say it? I just don't know. So we haven't heard him say it again. We did give him a talk, and, it, you know, I'm like, oh, my gosh. How many of you know being a mom is, like, the craziest roller coaster of your life, not just giving birth, but then raising the children that God gives you is, like, stressful and awesome and full of, like, the biggest roller coaster of life. And it's pretty amazing, but I just honor you moms here today because you have the most important, incredible job on planet Earth. The fact that God would entrust his children to us is amazing. He must really, really, really have faith in us to give us his children to raise and to train in the ways of God. So honor you today. And I also want to honor my mom because I know she's going to listen to this. And not just because of that, but I love her. She's obviously done a good job in instilling the values that I have today inside of me. So, you know, I was like one of those kids who followed all the rules, came home with the A's, and did everything right. And so I didn't have to get in trouble that often. But I would always be like, my brother got like the C's and the F's and stuff. And then when he got an A, he would get money. And I'm like, I've gotten A's like my whole life, and I don't have any money. Like, you've never given me money for getting A's. But Mom, I love you, and you did an incredible job raising your three kids with all your heart and all your soul. So thank you. I honor you this tonight. So God gave me this incredible concept to preach tonight. My prayer is that I can communicate it the way that God gave it to me, because the word itself is a God word. I'm telling you, it has God all over it. And I'm honored that he would give the word to me to deliver to you. And so let's just open up in prayer, because I feel a little bit nervous delivering the word that God's given me, only because there's power to it. You know, it's not a word that's like, there's parts that are peachy and fuzzy, but there's also parts that are teachy and fun and fun in all the right ways. So let's open up in prayer tonight. God, I thank you so much for your presence here. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. I thank you, God, that you would use me to communicate clearly and concisely the words that you've given me to speak. Lord, we know your presence is with us and that you're doing something incredible in this church tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I said, you know, it hasn't always been my heart's desire to have kids. And so, you know, after my husband and I got married, just a couple years in, he's a chiropractor, and I was in his practice off and on, and so I'd start holding babies because the mom would need to get adjusted, so I start holding the babies, and I actually worked in the office, so he'd just be like, hey, babe, come hold this baby, and I think he had, you know, he was trying to trick me because he always knew that I wanted to wait 5 years before having kids, and I always say, 5 years, 5 years, 5 years, 5 years, we're having kids, 5 years, we're having kids, and it's so funny because we had kids after being married for 5 years, but our heart's desire was to have kids a little bit sooner. And so after a couple years, I'm like, you know, maybe we should actually maybe start to think about having kids. Do you think, like, maybe we could think about it and, like, maybe think about it? And so he's like, yeah, let's do it, let's do it. So we get all excited. And after 2 years, we start trying to have kids. And month after month after month, we fail. And I'm not getting pregnant. And so I never would have imagined that this is the journey that God would take me on. I never would have thought that it would take time and that we would actually have to face some of the struggles of infertility that so many people in the world face but actually don't talk about, or, you know, it's not talked about enough. And so actually 10% of all couples struggle with this. And so I never thought we'd be part of that 10%. And I'm going to talk kind of about that journey tonight. I want to share with you what we went through for that journey. And I want to start off with a clip from my favorite movie, The Greatest Showman.
It's a pretty new. This is where you wanna be. It's everything you ever want. It's everything you ever need. And it's here in front of you.
I understand, yes. Thank you so much, Mr. Jeffries. Thank you. You'll have the money by the end of the day. Let's go.
Incredible. So here we have this man, P.T. Barnum, who has the most incredible dream to create the circus, to create something that everyone needs and everybody wants and everyone wants to be at. But it shows so powerfully right there that it started as a boy who barely had anything. He looks down at it. He barely even has shoes. He barely has any money. He's impoverished, but he has a dream. And so how many of you know that there was a journey that had to take place from that time all the way until the most incredible P.T. Barnum came up with the circus? And so that's what I want to talk about tonight, is there's a journey. God gives us all incredible dreams. And if there's a dream on the inside of your heart that is given from God, then take hold of that. And tonight, you know, I know there's people here that had a dream in their heart at one point of their life, but for whatever reason, life happens. Very understandable, life happens, and we let go of those dreams and say, oh, that must have not been God, or it's too late, I'm getting too old, I'm past that. But what I want to do tonight is help reignite that dream and show you the journey that God has taken me on and the journey that God can take you on as well. Because after going through 3 years of not being able to get pregnant, there was many things that I know God took us on that journey for in order to get to where we've got today. And so all across the Bible, God gives dreams and promises to men and women. You know, we have God who gave Noah the dream of building an ark. We have Abraham who was given the dream of being the father of a great nation. We have Joseph who was given the dream of being a leader that would save his people. And then you see all across the Bible where God gives barren women a dream to have a child, and they actually can have a child. And then there's story after story of those dreams all coming to pass. But how many of you know there's an incredible journey that God wants to take us on? I love to ask you tonight if there's a dream in your heart that has been buried for you to just go there with God tonight. Just question, just as I'm preaching, even just ponder on it. Maybe for a moment, if you have to stop listening and actually think and pray to God and listen and meditate on what God has for you, then I want you to do that. It's not selfish, because what tonight is all about is reigniting those dreams and then seeing what the journey looks like and giving you the faith to go on the journey. You know, there were so many times where Pastor Matt were on the journey of infertility that we had to be reignited. We had to be surrounded by people that would believe, and we had to be pushed into the faith that we needed to have. So tonight is for you. Tonight is so that you can leave here inspired and excited about what God has for your life. Not scared by it, not pushed back by it, not, life is so easy to get caught up in. And tonight, and church in general, Pastor Jurgen said it this morning, church is to reignite the passions and the dreams on the inside of you that God has given you. So whether it's a husband, I know there's single women out there that have been dreaming and longing for a husband. Don't let that dream die. If it's a job, a healing, a child, a lost family member that you maybe lost hope for, simply peace. It could just be simply peace in your life. When can I be in that place again where I can just live in peace? Maybe it's financial breakthrough. There's multiple things, and God has the most incredible promises in his Bible. To give you a few of those, Philippians 4:19 says, God will supply all our needs. Ephesians 2:8 says, his grace is sufficient. Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good. Mark 16:16 says, "For we get forgiveness and salvation." John 10:28 says, we get eternal life. And Psalms 37:4 says, God will grant you the desires of your heart. So once we discover what the God dream is, there's this thing called the tightrope. And this is clear as day what God showed me for this message. The title of the message tonight is Walking the Tightrope. So there's a tightrope of life that we must walk, where faith is on one side and action is on the other side. Walking the tightrope, faith and action. And it is incredible tension, a healthy tension between the two of faith and action that we must operate in. and I had to get this myself. I remember in tears one day talking to one of my friends at Women's Prayer saying, "But God can do a miracle. Why do I have to do anything?" God's like, "Oh, no, no, my daughter. It doesn't work that way. You must do what you can do, and I will do what I can do." I remember driving, I'm going to tell the full story, but I remember driving, our doctor is in LA, I remember driving there in tears by myself in traffic, so frustrated, going, "God, why me? Why do I have to face this?" You know, my sister always would tell me, everything's good in your life. You've just been handed life on a silver platter. I'm like, nope, so not the case. It's how you handle the circumstances that God has given you and turn them into good. And so it's incredible to see what God will do when you learn to walk the tightrope. How many of you know that there was a journey where P.T. Barnum had to walk the tightrope? If you watch the full movie, which I highly suggest you do, you'll see time after time, he's taken back two steps, forward one step, back two steps, forward one step. And he discovers the incredible, and it's not a Christian movie, don't get mad at me, but it's a good moral story with good values that we can all learn from. I really believe that God gives us all desires in our heart, not to harm us, but to help us and inspire us in our walk with him. So the whole premise of this message is based on this scripture, James 2:14-17. It says, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well-fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself is not accompanied by action is dead." And so, you know, we overuse the scripture, "Faith without works is dead," I feel like sometimes, because we use it in a way where we want to condemn someone because they're not doing anything and they're just kind of using God as a crutch. But that's not what I'm talking about tonight. I'm talking about having the most incredible faith in God and using everything in our power that we can do to see God's will come to pass. P.T. Barnum has a quote. He said, "I will lose my camel entrusted to God." "No, no, not so," said the prophet. "Tie thy camel and trust it to God." Powerful. So tonight I want to encourage you on the tightrope. What is that great balance we can find in our life to see God's will come to pass? So there's four things I want to give you tonight. They all start with P, just to make it easy for you to remember. Four things to find and maintain a healthy tension between faith and action. The first one is be purposeful. How many of you like to be purposeful? Good. You're in the right place. So I want to start off by reading this story. The Bible is amazing. The Bible is so interesting. Like, you start to read these stories, and as you read, you just start to see God coming through. It's incredible. So John 1:5-8 says, "Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool." Sounds nice. I actually saw it. It is pretty cool. When we went to Israel, it's pretty cool. "A pool which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, 'Do you want to get well?' 'Sir,' the invalid replied, 'I have no one to help me get in the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Then Jesus said to him, 'Get up, pick up your mat, and walk.'" That is such an incredible story. Here's a pool with five entrances. It's a miracle pool. So there's people that are laying around waiting for their miracle, sitting around waiting for their miracle. But only once a year, an angel comes, and they can get in the pool and get healed. So there's a man waiting for 38 years. And Jesus always asks questions that he already knows the answer to. So he asks the guy, "Do you want to get healed?" And the guy's like, "Well, yeah, I want to get healed." And Jesus essentially says, "Well, then why are you just sitting there? Like, get up and get in the pool." And the guy has like excuse after excuse, and he's victim mentality, and he's whining, and he's like, you know, I don't have anyone to help me get in the pool. How does that look in our lives sometimes? How does that show up for us when we want something? Do we want it bad enough? Do we want it bad enough to get up and actually go after it? I love what my husband always says. He says, let's rip our miracle out of heaven. And I so believe that. If there's a miracle we're going after, we have to really want it. And we have to actually be willing to do whatever it takes to get the miracle. And if you don't have anybody around you to help you get in the pool, then I would suggest getting new friends. And then there's this thing about waiting. So I don't know if you know this, but in the Merriam-Webster definition of wait actually means to stay in place in expectation of. And so waiting is not a passive thing. It's actually a proactive thing. So we can be waiting on God, but there's actually action involved. Micah 7:7 says, but as for me, I will look to the Lord, and confident in him, I will keep watch. I will wait with hope and expectancy for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. So tonight, if you're waiting on God, I want you to shift your perspective from sitting back and waiting to actually pressing into what God has for you. You know, when we were waiting to get pregnant, I had people all around me getting pregnant, left and right. I swear to you, every day someone was telling me they were pregnant. And I'm like, seriously, God? Like, why? And I had a choice to make if I was going to let it upset me or encourage me. I had a choice to make. Is this for me? If you can do it for them, can you do it for me, God? And I had a choice to make to decide that, yes, God, you can do this for me. You're no respecter of persons. You can do this for me if you've done it for them. You know, there are more many things I had to choose. I had to choose which words I was speaking over my life. I had to actually start speaking the answer versus the problem. I had to choose who I was going to be around. So I had multiple people telling me, I had a dream you were pregnant. I see that you're pregnant. I had a dream last night that you were pregnant with a baby boy. Pastor Leanne had a dream that I was going to have three kids. And at that point, I was just like, oh, I just want one, you know? But I had incredible people around me that stood in faith on behalf of me. You know, I chose to throw baby showers because I was like, I'm not going to let this get the best of me. I'm just going to love life, have a joyful attitude. I'm going to party with my friends that get pregnant. I'm going to have fun with them. Was it hard? Yes. But I had a choice to make. So if it's a husband you're waiting for, make sure you're the best potential wife you could be. If it's a job you're waiting for, volunteer your little heart out and see what God has for you in return for your serving. If it's a lost child that you're believing for, keep pouring into them. Keep loving them. Sow seeds of love. Sow seeds of care. Send them money. Someone told me, if you so have an issue with someone, send them money. Just sow love. If you're waiting for your husband to be a better husband, then continue to be an incredible wife. Psalm 27:13 says, I would have lost heart unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Amen. So that's number one, be purposeful. Number two is be persistent. There's no giving up here. Walking the tightrope does not let you give up. Luke 1:45 says, blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told from her from the Lord. We must persist in our belief because the devil has a plan B that is nowhere near the incredibleness of the God plan A that God has for your life. Good is the enemy of better, and better is the enemy of best. God wants the best plan, so there's no room for compromise. Okay, another incredible story in the Bible is Sarah and Abraham. I want to read it to you. Let's go to Genesis 16, 1 to 4. It says, now Sarai, Abram's wife, who is Abraham, becomes Abraham later, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her. Abram agreed to what Sarai said. What is wrong with this man? Yeah. That is one time, husbands, don't listen to your wife. She's crazy. Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian slave, Hagar, and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar, and she conceived. What do you know? When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Duh, you told your husband to sleep with the maid. She's pregnant now. You wanted to be pregnant. You're mad. Are you surprised? You're so bitter and angry. Yes, you should be. You should be mad at yourself. So then I want to skip down to 16:12. Oh, hold on. I don't. Okay, so yes. So that's what I want to tell you. So she gets pregnant. Sarai gets pregnant with Ishmael. How many of you know what Ishmael means? It's not nice. It literally means wild ass or outcast. So here we are. The maidservant is pregnant and has Ishmael. They don't name him very well, do they? So then we skip to Genesis 16:12. He will be a wild donkey of a man. This is Ishmael. His hand will be against everyone and everyone's hand against him, and he will live in hostility towards all his brothers. Bad day for everyone. So fast forward 14 years. God changes Abram to Abraham, which means father of multitude. And then he tells him that Sarai, who also has her name changed to Sarah. Sarah means princess. Now, Sarah is 90 years old. Do you think of a 90-year-old woman when you think of a princess? Because I sure don't. But God literally tells him to tell her that she's going to be pregnant. Now, here she is 90, called a princess. God says she's going to get pregnant. What does she do? She kind of freaks out a little bit. So let's go to Genesis 21, 1 to 2. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the very time God had promised. So Sarah conceives Isaac. So now they have Ishmael and they have Isaac. Now the meaning of Isaac is laughter. So you have one son named Outcast and you have one son named Laughter. Beautiful. In Galatians 4, 22 to 23, it says, for as written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman and the other by the free woman. So what's the importance of all this? Here Sarah wants a baby so bad, she's willing to compromise. She literally compromises in the worst way possible by telling her husband to have relations with the maidservant who births Ishmael. She compromises, and that's the key. Because fast forward 2,000 years, here we have the descendants of Ishmael are actually, if you look genetically in the genealogy of how things have happened, are now the Islamics and the Muslims. And if you look at the descendants of Isaac, are now the descendants and the Christians. And now we literally have nations that are at war because one woman compromised. One woman could not be persistent in her faith. One woman could not control her decisions and decided that it'd be better off to just have a son through the maidservant. That was a bad day. So when Matt and I began our journey on the tightrope, I had to stay in faith. I could not compromise. And the incredible thing is, when we sat across from a doctor at the table who said, you have 0% chance of getting pregnant. Literally. He goes, you have 0% chance. And I go, well, can we at least have 1%? Just 1%. And he goes, fine, you can have 1%. And I'm like, yes, God, 1%. Not that you couldn't work with zero, but 1%. And so the journey began of figuring out what the heck we were going to do. And so there could not be a compromise. So we went and we visited doctor after doctor. In my denial, I'm like, no, we don't have to see a doctor. God's going to do a miracle. We fasted, we prayed, we did everything we knew how to do. Finally, God just said, you need to go see a doctor. You need to get this figured out. And so after one conversation, after the next, as we're staying in prayer, as we're staying in faith, we get introduced to a doctor in LA who does natural IVF. And so the whole thing was I didn't want to do IVF because I was not wanting to do all the drugs and all the hormones that you have to do, like 77 shots per round of IVF. And I'm like, heck no. There's no way in God's green earth I'm doing that. But I had to wait. And I had to wait for the God-appointed moment and the God-appointed doctor to come into my life to be able to get pregnant. So the incredible thing is, we found this doctor, and he was amazing. It was it's such little God story after little God story after little God story. But we meet him, and he's like, okay, well, you can do this natural IVF thing. And he really loves natural IVF, but he just said, your chances are going to be a lot lower of it working if you do it this way. And I'm like, it's fine. We can do it. It's fine. So we get pregnant the first time. Incredible. So we get pregnant with Micah. And then we are like, well, we want to get pregnant again, but we don't want to drive to LA. So the drive is really hard and tedious. I have to go every day for like 2 weeks. And I'm like, nah, let's just find someone in San Diego. We visit three doctors in San Diego, and they're all like, that's impossible. There's no way that that happened. There's no way. One doctor goes, I need to see a picture of your kid to prove that it actually worked. Right, babe? I'm like, here, this is Micah. She was born, natural IVF. Just get the records from the doctor, and you can do it too. And then this doctor just refused to do it. He's like, well, I'm not going to do it because it's probably not going to work. I'm like, oh, my gosh. So then we do it a second time. We go back to LA, and we get pregnant the second time with Maverick. Pretty incredible. So all that to say is we must be persistent. We must continue to go after the God dream. We must continue to go after the God calling. The third point tonight is be prayerful. Be prayerful. Be full of prayer. We must create an atmosphere of prayer in our lives in order for God to move. And can I just say, it matters how we pray. And I know that's not politically correct, but it so matters. Jesus tells us how to pray in Luke 11:2. He says, when you pray, say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And you know how the rest goes. But, I don't see any begging in this. I don't see any, woe is me. I don't see any complaining. I see, God, your will be done. God, your kingdom come. I see a prayer of faith. I see commanding God's blessing. I see reminding God of his promises. And if you have to literally get a scripture and remind God, God, your word says that you will supply all my needs, that you are my provider, then you remind God of those promises. I had to shift my prayer voice from, God, why is this happening to me? To God, I know you have the most incredible will. You have a baby for us. I am pregnant in Jesus' name. You'll know if you need to switch your language because you'll feel full of faith after you pray. You'll be so excited for what God has for you. You'll see that thing and you won't be intimidated by it anymore. You'll be excited and it'll feel like it's right there because that's how God works. When there's a touch from heaven, you will literally feel the pull of faith towards that thing. So you must build a fortress around your situation with prayer. If it's not worth praying about, it's not worth worrying about. So if you're worried about something and you're not praying, not much I can tell you. Mark 11:24 says, whatever you pray, believe and you shall receive it. When we pray, we must believe. 1 John 5:14 through 15 says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And that's why it's so important. I started a women's prayer meeting way back in the day because I actually did not know how to pray. And, Pastor Becky and I from Central Campus just looked at each other one day. We're like, we don't really know how to pray. Maybe we should just practice together. And so the seed of a prayer meeting started. And here we are, you know, 12 years later, and we have the most incredible, powerful prayer meetings that I've heard happen in San Diego. Like, literally people come and say that. The men meet on Tuesdays at 5 a.m. and the women meet on Thursdays at 7 a.m. But there's prayer warriors in that place. And if I can guarantee you, if you're in a situation that you're at a loss of words, you're at a loss of what to do, come to that place and you'll get injected with faith. You'll get prayed over by the types of prayers that likens to the ear of God. And the last point is this: be in His presence. How many of you know that one moment in the presence of God can change everything? Our eyes can be opened to a whole new perspective, and it's not, sometimes God will completely shift the circumstance right in that moment, but oftentimes God will shift us in that moment more than anything. And we'll be able to see things clearer, we'll be able to see things differently. And when we're at the end of our rope, when we're completely done, we're out of it, we're done, that's where you find God, and that's where He carries us through and re-injects the faith that we need to be able to walk the tightrope. There's so many ways to enter the presence of God, and I think a lot of people overcomplicate this, because I know I used to. All it takes is some music, some worship music, some singing. Sing for yourself. Read your Bible, pray, be in the prayer meetings, be around other believers. And the best way to get in the presence of God is to start thanking Him, being grateful for what you have. You know, I was just sitting at my daughter's little Mother's Day performance the other day, and it was so precious. And she hadn't even gone on yet. It was the other grades before her. And I just started getting all teary-eyed, but it started because I started thinking how thankful I was that my kids get to go to this incredible school. And then I started thinking about how amazing it is that I have a husband that provides, that can send to this school. And I started thinking about how good God is and how much He loves me. And I just started, like, tearing up. And I'm like, the presence of God hit me, because I got in this place of gratefulness and gratitude and thankfulness for God and how much He loves me. And it's as simple as that. Everyone has something in their lives to be thankful for. If you have nothing else to be thankful for, be thankful for the person you're sitting next to tonight. You have to search for those things and thank God for what He's doing. And the last scripture I want to share, I know this scripture meant so much to me when I was going through that journey. Romans 8:26-28. When I was at the end of my rope, God gave me this scripture, and I have the Message version because I really love it. It says, "Meanwhile, the moment we get tired in waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside, helping us along. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying in and for us, making prayer out of our wordless sighs and our aching groans. He knows us far better than we know ourselves. He knows our pregnant condition and keeps us present before God. That's why we can be so sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good." Isn't that beautiful? And it talks about He knows our pregnant condition. And I don't think the Bible means the actual pregnancy. He knows that we all have something on the inside of us that is just waiting to be birthed. And as humans, we can get so annoyed that it's not happening tomorrow. We live in a microwave generation that we expect everything at the tip of our fingers. I can order groceries in 3 seconds and have them at my door an hour later. You know, we can contact a friend in 5 seconds. Anyway, we can do anything we want, as fast as we want in this generation. But what God is telling us here is that we all live with a pregnant condition of having something on the inside of us that is yet to be birthed, that is a God plan, that is God's purpose and perfect will for our lives. And I just think that scripture is so beautiful. God does it for us. God's got our back, and He's right there alongside of us when we are just tired of it all. We're just done and tired of it all. God's there with us, and in His presence is where you'll find that refreshing faith that you need to get walking on that tightrope and keep the perfect balance between action and faith. Amen. So I want to have us all stand tonight. The presence of God is here. And even if you don't feel like you need a touch from God, hey, it never does anybody bad to get a touch from God. And so tonight I'm just going to pray over us. Just pray that whatever is going on in your lives, that you'll see God in it. That whatever it is you're believing for, that you'll see the God moment, you'll see the puzzle pieces coming together to turn out to be a beautiful piece of artwork that God has. So if everyone can just close your eyes, lift your hands, be ready to receive. And if this is your first time here or this is uncomfortable for you, I just encourage you to take this moment, be bold, and just open. Just open your heart, physically open your arms, and just say, God, touch me tonight. Bring your presence into my life. God, I thank you for every person here. I thank you for the dreams, the desires, and the purposes that you've placed, Lord God, the seeds that you planted on the inside of our hearts, God. Lord God, I pray for people that have been battling and believing tonight, Lord God, that you would help them to see things differently, Lord. I declare that there would be miraculous things happening in this place, God. Lord, that people would leave here different, that there would be a shift, there would be a new faith, that their faith would be accelerated, God. I thank you, Lord, that you would personally touch each and every person here. Whatever that dream or desire is on their heart, God, that they would not lose touch with it, God, that they would not bury it, but they would start to uncover it. And Lord God, that you would help us to see the way that you see. Lord God, that you would help us to see what's on the inside of us, Lord. Help us to be confident in what you have, God. I thank you, Lord, that your presence is here moving across this place. And I was arguing with God during worship because I told him I didn't want to prophesy tonight. But then he stinking pointed out three people that needed a word. So I'm going to give those words tonight. There's a beautiful couple here in the middle. I think you're new. I think you're new. So I don't want to embarrass you, but God really clearly showed me. I wrote it down. God really clearly showed me during worship that whatever you are believing for, that it is coming to pass. And just to encourage you that God is with you. He sees your heart's desire. He knows what you've been praying for. So God, I thank you for this beautiful couple. I thank you, Lord, that they are refreshed and renewed in your presence tonight. God, I thank you for what you're doing in their lives, Lord, that you would show up in a big way. And that's a word for you guys as you leave tonight, knowing that God is showing up in a big way in your life. And what your heart's desire is coming, whatever your heart's desire is coming to pass. That thing you've been battling for is coming to pass in Jesus' name. Amen. The other two people, this blonde lady up at the top. Hi. I had a word for you during worship. God is so funny. I'm like, God, that takes energy. I don't want to do that tonight, but I love God. You got to be obedient. So what God showed me for you is that he's taking you to a deeper level with him. And that he's, as you go deeper with him, that you will just start, you'll see increase, incredible increase in the areas of your life that you may have seen, started to see a cap over, or maybe perceive a cap over, but there's not a cap. And God just showed me as I was praying and just glanced up and saw you, God really showed me that there's a deeper level. There's a deeper level and a new level. It was like this weird thing where I saw you going deeper and then you also going to the next level in your faith and the next level of what God has for you. So that's what God showed me for you. And then, beautiful over here, brown hair with gold hoops back. I notice you almost every Sunday, just so you know. You're so gorgeous. And I don't know why. I looked over and I noticed you again, as I do oftentimes. And God showed me tonight, he showed me that there's gonna be a new freedom. There's gonna be a new joy. And it's almost like physically you just went like this. And it was like God freed you from something that you've been battling with nonstop, like something in your mind, something inside, like something internally, not necessarily anything externally, but just internally, just the battle. And I just, I saw you just going like this and surrendering to God, and that his presence showed up so powerfully in your life. So, amen. God is so good. God is so good. So here's the thing. If God gives you a dream and it sounds too big for you to do in your own power, then it doesn't take any of God to do it. And so the reason that I can stand here today and tell you my testimony, and I'm now pregnant with our third baby, I can tell you is because I give the honor and the glory to a God who is bigger and better and more incredible than anything that I can ask, think, or imagine. And so I went from a girl who didn't want kids and a girl who had no purpose or dream for a life to a girl that serves God and loves God and sees the most incredible miracles and surrounded by the most incredible people, because God is good. God is good all the time. No matter the circumstance, no matter the situation, God is always good. He has promises that guarantee that He works all things together for good for those that love the Lord. So I want you to be encouraged in that tonight. I want you to go home. I want you to dig up those dreams that you may have buried. And I want you to think about the steps that you have to take to walk the tightrope so that God can get those miracles to your life and you can see His power come to pass and give Him all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. One last thing I must do quickly because none of this matters unless you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I gave my life to God the first Sunday I ever came to church, and so if everyone can just bow their heads and close their eyes, I promise this will be fast. God can move in a second. If there's anyone here tonight who wants a relationship with Jesus or want to reignite your relationship with Jesus, can you just stick your hand in the air? No one's looking. No eyes are open. Everyone's heads are bowed. So this is between you and God. Go ahead and raise your hand tonight. Anyone here? Anyone here tonight? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for being here with us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Anyone here tonight? We have a hand raised up at the back. Can we give her a clap? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else before I close? Anyone else? All right. If you wanted to raise your hand but maybe didn't, you can see the incredible Neil here. He's going to come get you a Bible and a book called Following Jesus that will help you on the next step in your walk with God. But we love you, church. Have an incredible night. You're amazing. Thank you for coming out on Mother's Day. And we'll see you next Sunday. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.